It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Ahoo, hey Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. On today's show, our sacred animal section, the show will have Wendy Pilot talking about where she is and what she's doing on the road. She'll share with us what the Eden Prairie City Council did this past week. In our studio guest this week is Missy Whiteman, producer and writer, director, editor, digital media filmmaker. We're proud to have her. And we'll end up with the show with our very popular segment called What Does My Elder Think? We are pre-America, the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. For each show we discuss on Native Roots Radio, what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, native lands, and how the natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our native lands and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives that are suffering from alcohol and drugs. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. We pray for our relatives that have gone through the Indian residential schools. Many have passed the trauma down. Kill the Indian, save the man. To our missing and murdered Indigenous Native women, you're not forgotten. My blood is as ancient as the earth I stand upon. I pre-exist America. This show is dedicated to all those who gave back and are fighting back. We are the resistance. We are awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I tried to harmonize with you on that. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Wendy. Wendy's on the road right now, and she's an animal advocate, and she has been for many years. She's a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Wendy, are you out there?
I am out there. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Can you hear
awesome.
Me okay?
Great. So, yeah. So I just passed the Wisconsin border, and I'm on Highway 94 driving to Menominee, Wisconsin, to pick up a dog. I'm doing a dog transport today, and originally we were supposed to have two dogs, but what happened was the other dog, temporary foster, fell in love with her, and she's going to be adopted. So instead of two dogs today, I only have one dog. The dog's name is Will, and he is a three-month-old, 17-pound, little American pit bull mix, and he's adorable. Later on today, I'll be posting pictures on our Facebook page, Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, pictures of the transport and the dog. And this particular dog is going to Minnesota. I'm going to be driving the dog back up to Minnesota. And there's a rescue organization called Save a Bull, Save a Bull, B-U-L-L, who rescues pit bull type dogs and gets them adopted out into good family homes. So Will today will be handed off to his foster mom today, And he'll be living in a nice house until he's adopted out. And I'm sure he'll go on to have a wonderful little doggy life. And these dogs originally came from Indiana. So the dogs left Indiana this morning early and coming up to Minnesota to be adopted.
So this is...
and I want everybody...
Go ahead.
What's that?
This is the you're the seventh person to transport. It's almost like the underground railroad there where you have people from different states giving the handoff of the dogs.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you brought that up because it does take a whole team of people to transport these dogs or just one dog. So like Robert said, there's seven legs to the transport. And I'm the seventh leg, the last leg of the transport. You know, and a lot of people think, well, geez, you're spending a lot of time and a lot of people, seven people to drive this dog almost 7 or 8 hours up to Minnesota just for one dog. Like, how is that worth it? And there's an old saying that says, you know, you're not going to change the world by saving one dog, but you will change the world for that one dog. So that's what we all keep in mind when we only have one dog to transport. And sometimes we have six dogs, and I think the most I ever had was nine dogs.
That trip? Because we used to do this before we had the radio show almost every week, and I know Wendy's was stepping up to the plate today because there was people were busy and they couldn't had to cover the last leg here to bring this this animal, which is our relative, back to St. Paul and to the Minnesota border.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up too. You know, I just wanted to talk briefly, too, about one more thing. You know, the Eden Prairie City Council, I'm really excited to talk about this, on April 17th, just last week, under the leadership of Council Member Ron Case, the Eden Prairie Council voted unanimously to move for an ordinance not to sell puppies and kittens from the puppy and kitten mills in the city of Eden Prairie. So we're really excited about that. You know, right now in Eden Prairie, they do not have any pet stores that sell puppies and kittens from puppy and kitten mills. But we wanted the ordinance to pass so that if anybody wants to come in and do that, they will not be allowed. So we're really excited about that. We really want to thank the Eden Prairie City Council members for taking this to heart, you know. And they really are a humane city, Eden Prairie, for adopting this ordinance. And if you remember, Robert, last year, Roseville was the first city in Minnesota to adopt this ordinance to prohibit the sale of puppy and kittens from puppy and kitten mills. So Roseville was the first, and now Eden Prairie is the second. Now, if anybody's out there and in their city, if they want this ordinance to pass, contact your city council members and talk to them about that. You could get in touch with me also. I'm a volunteer state council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and I can help you get that passed in your city with the help of our district leader, and her name is Christine Coughlin, and she's an expert about how to go about and do this. So contact me on our Native Roots Radio Facebook page. I'm awake. We can get that going. We want to get every city in Minnesota to pass this ordinance not to sell puppies and kittens from these puppy mills and kitten mills. These are horrible places where dogs are kept and they're commercially bred. The dogs don't go outside. They stay in their cage the whole life, and they are just there to breed puppies. And our puppy, we have one. Her name is Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
She's a 9-year-old little Maltese dog, and she was in the puppy mill for 7 years of her life in a cage, and she was estimated to produce 2 litters every year. So we estimate that Gracie had 14 litters in her lifetime, and her puppies were sold in pet stores and sold online, and you know, people don't realize that these dogs are kept in horrific condition. So
you always want to see who the mother is and what the mother looks like whenever you are purchasing or getting a dog. You know, there's so many dogs out there. There's, what, 5 dogs to every person in the United States if we bought, each person?
Yeah, 4. Every person in the United States has to have 4 dogs each to combat the homeless dog population in the United States. So everybody has to have 4 dogs. We're short 1 dog, Robert.
Oh.
Oh, wait, no. We're supposed to have 8 dogs.
Oh, well, my knee hurts. My knee hurts just you saying that. Wow, we're doing pretty good right now. Hey, so I want to congratulate you and all the work that I know that you put in and the organization that you work with, HSUS, Humane Society of the United States, and how they support our sacred animals. You know, they're family to us.
They do support our sacred animals. They support all our sacred animals, not just dogs and cats.
Uh-hoo. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Peeny Geegee Wendy. Have a safe trip.
Yeah, I miss you guys. I'll see you later.
See you too, Junk.
I just need the address. Text it to me.
Stay tuned. We got an award coming up for you.
Uh-hoo. You're listening. you've been listening, or you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're going to have our special guest, Native artist and documentary filmmaker, Missy Whiteman.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
Get ready for an exciting time for a great cause. Woman of Nations, MAW, PW4C, proudly present Grand Slam 2018. Saturday night, April 21st. Proceeds to benefit Woman of Nations, Eagle Nest Shelter. The show takes place at the Minneapolis American Indian Center and will be the first show there since 1993. So this is truly an event 25 years in the making. This event will showcase many of the region's top performers, all bringing their best to this historically important venue. Grand Slam 2018, Saturday night, April 21st. Proceeds to benefit the Woman of Nations.
Ticket sales and other proceeds will be donated to Woman of Nations to support the emergency shelter and associated programs. Woman of Nations, Eagle Nest Shelter, which offers shelter and programming to those in the Native American community affected by domestic abuse. Tickets and more information at MidwestAllStarWrestling.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and Neighborhood Cafe. Good food, good friends.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. All right. We should have you just do that again, just for the heck of it. No, I'm just kidding. good job, Tane. So, hey, I got a guest here. I got a really cool guest here that I happened to see a couple nights ago at an opening of a movie, and she was in the Q&A, and I said, wow, we got to have this person on the show. And, of course, Crystal said, well, I know this person. So it was like, sweet, let's get her on. So with me, I have with me artist, filmmaker, documentary maker, Missy Whiteman. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Crystal, for inviting me, and Robert for inviting me as well. Hello, everyone. My name is Missy Whiteman. I belong to the Northern Arapaho and Kickapoo Nations.
Ooh.
And I'm a filmmaker. I'm an artist. I'm a mother. I like to create things, but I also love to work with young people. So I also teach young people media production and believe in supporting the next generation of artists and filmmakers.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is totally awesome. I know I teach video production too in the high school. So that's it's always fun to see when the light bulb comes off. And I have a lot of people. I've been doing it for 25 years, and I know the show's not about me, but I've been doing it for about 25 years, and I have like many people that are in the business now, and it's exciting to see people succeed when you just really just point them to the right direction.
Yeah, it is. It's also about how we identify in mainstream media, how we see ourselves. Most importantly, if we're given a specific narrative, like we're desolate or we're alcoholics or we just are, you know, Tonto hanging out on the cliff,
mm-hmm.
then or Indian maidens who are helpless, and when in fact we're quite the opposite. We need to change that narrative, especially beginning with the future, with youth, because then when they step into the roles that we have right now, they're going to come equipped with a different way of making film and videos, as well as telling their own story and their own place in this world.
Mm-hmm. And it is caught between two cultures a lot of times. What have you worked on in the past? I know you work with students. So what does your resume sound like, seeing that this is radio?
I can't show you my resume, but I do have a Minnesota Arts bio that does have my resume, but it's not quite updated to this year. Recently, I just returned with Christine McCleave and Isaac, he's my DP, Isaac Larson. And we came back from the Alaskan, the state of Alaska with the indigenous people there. And it was with the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition. Mm. And their motto is break the silence, begin the healing. I can't really speak for Christine, but I know she does a lot, and she'd be an amazing person to have on the show to talk more about that, the work that they do there.
Mm-hmm.
My part in this is to help tell the stories of healing and resiliency, but also to talk about the truth. A lot of times we see documentaries, we see movies about our historical trauma and our experiences in boarding school created by, you know, non-Native people. And it's better that we tell our own stories.
Mm-hmm.
And these are our traumas, and these are traumas to heal from. And it's also something that we as Native people don't profit off of. Unfortunately, I do see that other people do profit off of our narratives many, many times. But with this, because we're in this amazing, amazing time right now of culture, language, revitalization of self on so many levels for Indigenous people, we need to also claim that. We need to claim all everything that's happening.
And that's that to me is a very important thing to bring up, because I know just as far back as when Choka and I were young, it wasn't cool to be Native unless you were white and wearing the Native clothes. But if you had darker skin, you were ridiculed. And nowadays, too, I think a lot of it has to do with people don't think we're still around. We're dinosaurs. There's not Native people around. So that's a very big and very important thing to bring up, because the stories change for somebody like Tane's age now compared to what Uncle Curtis went through at her age.
Yeah, I like how Tane's just quiet over there. What do you think? I mean, what do you think, Tane? Like, really, what do you think of everything being a young person and your image in media?
Oh, goodness. Jeez.
Fully putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I wasn't okay, expecting though. This.
It's just you and me.
I'm glad that people like you are working to portray us in better light and that it's more accurate. But growing up with, like, Pocahontas wasn't cool.
Yeah. Well, I think that to me, and I'm not speaking for Tane, but to me, the sexualization of Pocahontas and Disney and the costumes and things like that, that maybe even just as little as 10 years ago were okay, is not okay at all. And never been okay with us. But people are kind of the non-Wonskies are figuring it out.
Yeah, and that's a good point to bring up, especially with women, that our images in media, especially as Native women, have been over-sexualized. And I think that has a lot to do with the missing and murdered Indigenous women and children movement, and why we are viewed as commodities and not viewed as, you know, like you say, the backbones of our people. So that's something also that is strong with my life is being a part of the movement, but also personal connection. And that's something that I share with young people. And I tell them my story of being a survivor and also how I used my art and film to heal. And so that's something that has been a theme throughout my career, but also with youth media. Like, that's really something that we taught in Alaska, was how to heal through media, how to tell our stories through media, and also documenting elder stories of survival experiences and their healing journey. Mm-hmm. And we really want to focus on that. We really want to talk about that component.
And one of the sad things, too, on the other side of that spectrum, is a lot of healing is not taking place. And I think we see that. We see that all around us. But the positive thing, too, is what you and many have been working on is to bring a light to the trauma.
Yeah, it's something that we need to do, bring the light to the trauma and bring the light into the darkness. That way we can look at it and face it and heal and move past.
Because I think an interesting thing, me being a recovering alcoholic, I know if you don't know what your past is, you're going to repeat it, and the past and the truth will set you free.
Yes, that's very true.
We'll be right back with Missy Whiteman. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Daddy, Daddy, what is Solar Bear doing?
Solar Bear is putting solar panels on top of that home.
Well, why is he doing that, Daddy?
He's trying to save his home. Because of global warming, his home is melting.
Daddy, can we help Solar Bear?
Yes, we can. And so can you. Call for your free estimate, 612-669-1165. And for more information, visit solarbearmn.com. Solar Bear is Native owned.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Get ready for an exciting time for a great cause. Woman of Nations, MAW, PW4C, proudly present Grand Slam 2018. Saturday night, April 21st. Proceeds to benefit Woman of Nations, Eagle Nest Shelter. The show takes place at the Minneapolis American Indian Center and will be the first show there since 1993. So this is truly an event 25 years in the making. This event will showcase many of the region's top performers, all bringing their best to this historically important venue. Grand Slam 2018, Saturday night, April 21st. Proceeds to benefit the Woman of Nations.
Ticket sales and other proceeds will be donated to Woman of Nations to support the emergency shelter and associated programs. Woman of Nations Eagle Nest Shelter, which offers shelter and programming to those in the Native American community affected by domestic abuse.
Tickets and more information at MidwestAllStarWrestling.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 56. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 34. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 60. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 39. Monday, a high of 66 and a low of 44. Lowry Hills Meats is your neighborhood full butcher shop. Working directly with family farmers, they offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry. Sausages are made fresh and in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Check them out at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by J&S Bean Factory, located at 1518 Randolph Avenue in St. Paul.
The good stuff. I wanted to say that with you.
And Ho-Chunk Nation, the people of the Sacred Voice.
Yes, we are.
Ho-ho.
Peeny Gigi Tane, right on. We're having Tane, who's like, you're like 16 or 15?
15.
Yeah, welcome. We're going to start her career in another few years. I'll be outside there, and you'll be running the show. So
I'll be out there with him.
My walker. Welcome back. You know, we've been talking to Missy Whiteman, and she's a artist, filmmaker, and educator, and documentary maker. And we want to get right into, in this segment, what you're working on right now, because it sounds really good.
Well, right now I am currently continuing the Healing Voices series, and I have another project, but I'm not sure if I can say anything right now, but it's pretty exciting. Something to do with public television and youth.
Oh.
So right now I'm recovering from Alaska. We were in Alaska for 8 days, and then we also finished up the Tanya Tagak Gillis show at the Ordway last night.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
It was phenomenal. I have no idea like how much work over months and months of time working with amazing people such as the Ordway, the Walker, Crystal Moose hanging out there.
Ooh-hoo.
And Maggie Thompson of Two Rivers Gallery, like how amazing the project was. And just to see last night incorporating our regional way of life with the Inuit way of life. And Tanya Tagak was phenomenal as usual, but she is an Inuit throat singer from the Nunavut community. And she utilizes her platform as a musician to talk about missing and murdered Indigenous women and children, other issues like seal hunting and eating for her people, which I think PETA gave her a hard time about. But if you understand where she comes from, that's pretty much the only staple and way of life that we've had for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
But last night we had the Sharon Day's group, the Okidawin group, and then Oshki Gijik with Liz Jacola. I'm getting a thumbs up from Crystal. Yes.
Yeah.
All my Anishinaabe relatives are all giving me thumbs up. And then a special, special shout out to Tane.
Oh.
She's amazing. And April and Crystal Moose, who were in the choir. But not only that, Crystal helped to coordinate that.
And there was nine nations involved with the choir?
Yeah.
Yes,
there were nine different nations represented in the choir. And that was historical, not only for the state of Minnesota, Ordway, but I think just across the board in the U.S. That was the first time that we had anything like that.
So can you explain what that means to our audience, what nine nations means, the people that wouldn't know?
Yeah, nine tribal nations. So each tribe is a sovereign nation. And that's we refer to our tribes. A lot of us don't say tribes, we say nations because
right.
we're like small countries within a larger country
mm-hmm.
because we have different language, different cultures.
And that's a huge deal because there's that many different nations that are being represented.
Yes.
That's why it's a huge deal.
Yes.
I know just when we were at Standing Rock a few years ago, there was 500 nations that were involved. So nine is a big, huge number. And there was roughly, 20, 25 people that were in the backup choir that?
There's actually 20.
20.
Yep.
That was a good guess, though.
Yeah, close. I mean, it seemed like it. It was so amazing. We sat in the back. We sat in the second or the first tier towards the back. And so we got the full scope of what it looked like. And the set, the skirts that they wore, the ribbon shirts were all in mind of missing and murdered Indigenous women and children. So all the women wore red ribbon skirts,
mm-hmm.
and the men had ribbon shirts with the red ribbon.
And who made those?
That's actually Charlene Day. Amazing. I'm not putting her name out there so everyone hits her up to make ribbon skirts, but we're just acknowledging.
What about ribbon shirts?
I know Charlene. We're calling you.
What about ribbon shirts? Yeah, that's okay, right?
Yeah, the same. She made that too. Oh, not. I'm not saying anything.
Right, there you go. No, but they're definitely beautiful, and I did see pictures.
Yeah.
I did see pictures, and Crystal uploaded a lot of stuff. So that's great. So it seems like the last, I don't know, 2 months, our theme has been murdered and missing Indigenous women, I think. It's exciting to hear you talk about it also, too. I know the movie that taking Q&As at, we had the young actor on our show, too. That was pretty – what did you think of the movie Indian Horse, I guess is what I want to ask
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's a good a lot of people ask me about that because the director isn't Native, and a lot of the key – people in the roles of making that film are not Native.
Well, the writer wasn't Native either.
The adaptation of the screen of the book wasn't Native, but the book was actually authored by a Native person.
Oh, my mistake. I almost said my bad.
It's all good. That's okay. I totally get it too. So the author is actually, his publisher is Milkweed Publishing, and
mm-hmm.
they're out of Minnesota here, and they're the U.S. Publication. And they initially contacted the Boarding School Healing Coalition to partner in on that screening.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, Christine wasn't able to make it, so I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Ajawak on a, you know, we're friends on a personal level, and anyway, the screening and the film itself, I walked into it with an open mind. Like, I'm always open to viewing. Same thing with Wind River. I'm like, I'm going into it with an open mind. I'm not going to have any sort of prejudgments. I can say this film talked about everything about boarding school experience within the system, but also what it means when you heal. What happens when these traumas come up in your life, and what do they look like? How do you identify them? And then also how does one person heal? And I think that was the powerful part of that story that is missing from so many other movies about boarding schools and boarding school experiences, historical trauma. It was there, and I have to say it was a very moving movie. The one thing is a lot of our community members didn't see that screening, and so we're working on a community screening in the future for us.
That's really a good idea, because I looked around and went, wow. Yeah. I really was pretty surprised, because that Ajuwakan is probably one of the nicest. I wish him all the luck in the world, and he's probably genuinely one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Yeah, he is.
And seeing him age to his 40s too was pretty interesting. I think one of the things for me, I can always tell if it's a good movie if it sticks with me for another day.
Yeah.
And this stuck with me for a couple days. The first thing I noticed right away was how beautiful it was shot.
Yeah.
I mean, where it was shot and how it was shot was unbelievable. And I think, I don't want to give the movie away, but one of the things that really, when the grandma was left, mm-hmm. It's hard for me to talk about this, but I think the symbolism of where she was left laying, and when they took him away, the fence was so close. I think the symbol of like modern times and old times was right there in that shot.
Yeah, because you really couldn't tell which time period it was in the beginning where he was, because it was still the old way of life, or not the old, but the traditional way of life. And then when the men stepped in, it was like, whoa, like that's pretty, it is modern.
And they wanted to make it to the road. And again, I don't want to wreck it for Uncle Curtis, but
no, don't.
But
spoiler alert.
But that to me was like, whoa. And just the symbolism of that frame of that shot where she was laying there and the river was flowing, and then there was a metal fence from the 50s, basically.
Yeah.
I think it was interesting too for me, and I don't want to talk about just me, but when I was at the pre-party and talking to a lot of the people that were non-native, had no idea. And I think that's one of the things. It's like we preach to the choir a lot, and how to get it out in mainstream. Really, what's happened in Curtis's lifetime or my lifetime? That's not that long ago, or my nanny's lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, just name them off, and if you want to see Caucasian people or any people that don't really know about our history, just tell them we weren't able to vote until 1927, and we weren't able to do our own religion until 1978. And you know, being an adoptee, you could be adopted by white families, and I mean, you know, kill the native and save the man was happening big time, very under the table.
Yeah, that's one of the things that is really important that we talk to our young people about too, is that process of colonization within the education system and how it reflects today, and what are ways that they can also look at their environment and create their own voice and focus on what's important in their life and what their future looks like, and why media and film, like, that's their language today. And we even, like, incorporate Snapchat into our trainings, mm-hmm. and we have them use Snapchat to tell their, like, to do scavenger hunts, mm-hmm. and it gets them engaged in thinking more along the lines of how can I use this media, not just to, like, do streaks, but... And I look at Tane. She's on my Snapchat, too. She knows. She sees the process. Like, everything I share is on Snapchat, like my entire journey. Like, I'm not super active on Facebook, or I am on Instagram, but I usually share everything on Snapchat or my stories on Instagram. And so that the younger generation watches what I do day to day.
Well, that's interesting, too, because I think media is so, so important. I mean, that's how people were educated about Native Americans on all the Ford movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, everybody had a feather, everybody looked the same, and we were savages and we were bad guys, and, you know, that was the education of people my age and young, or my age and older. So, you know, it's easy for people to say, get over your issues and move on, because they really don't know our issues.
No, they don't. They just see the end result, which is the coping with trauma, and they don't see why these things are the way they are today. And there's everything that we have, suicide, alcoholism, drug addiction, broken families. It all ties back to the boarding school era and experience.
Absolutely. And I think that's the story, and I think that's what I want to leave with today, is that that's where it all starts with. We were here. We were pre-America. I want to thank you, Missy, for being here. Missy Whiteman, filmmaker, educator, documentary maker, kind of rhymed. We'll be back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350, building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, forced assimilation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotment, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and today we're going to be talking to Uncle Curtis. Whatever comes to his mind, this is What Does My Elder Think?
This portion of the show is brought to you by Jay Selby, Vegan for Everyone, and Women of Nations Eagle's Nest.
Awesome. Shelter. I wanted to...
Midwest All-Star Wrestling, Pro Wrestling for Causes.
Wait, let's do that one again. Take two. We'll pretend we're not here. So what is that now?
Women of Nations and Eagles Nest Shelter, Midwest All-Star Wrestling, Pro Wrestling for Causes.
That's right, Jack.
Oh.
Oh. All right, we just wanted you to do that again so we could do our wrestling voice. Hey, Uncle Curtis, tell us your name and what you got on your mind today.
Aho, Pina Gigi Chushke.
Aho.
My name is Mashke Hanajinga. I walk on a white clouds. That's my native name. My colonized name is Curtis West. I got to say hi to my baby girl out there, my school, my sugar out there. Hi, Kim.
You beat me to it.
Aho, aho. And I'd like to say aho to all my family and relatives and friends in Four Direction. I pray all is well with you all out there. So, hey, you know, Robert cuts me loose for a couple little things I like to do here, you know, the Choka's time. So I like to say some shout-outs, some advertisements, and some, you know, just birthdays and things like that. So we'd like to do, first off, we're going to go with some birthdays. There's this one, my little brother down in Arizona, his name's Michael Moyer down in Arizona. So happy birthday, Mike.
Uh-hoo.
And then I got a special request from one of my native sisters up in Big Fork, Montana. Her name is Candy Willow, so I'm going to say happy birthday all the way to Montana, up there, the big sky countries up there. So, and I got a relative down here in the Twin Cities that I'm not going to say how old she is because she'll get mad at me, but her name is April Russell, and so I want to say happy birthday to her. You know, hey, Kuno, take good care of her, all right then?
How old is she?
I'm not going to say nothing. And then I got a couple relatives down there in Winnebago, down in Bago, Nebraska, and it's my little sister down there. Her name is, and she made sure that I told her maiden name, and her name is Janet LaPointe Bass. And happy birthday down there to Winnebago, Nebraska. And her husband was 5 days older than her, and his name is Greg Bass. So I want to say ha-ho down there to Winnebago. So I hope you got your ears on all the way down that way. And so I'm going to say ha-ho to you. So anyway, we like to do some elders. You know, anytime, you know, I'm an elder, but there's a couple people that are a little older than me, so I like to wish them happy birthday and things like that. So
don't look at me.
I'm not looking over that way. Yeah, but anyhow, we got some elders out there in God's country in Wisconsin that we'd like to shout out to. And a good friend of mine, Rita Gardner, her birthday is today. And there's another one out there, Kim Whitegall. And another one out there, kind of, I guess, in relation to one of our legislators up here. So we're gonna say happy birthday to Barbara Two Bears.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're going to say happy birthday out that way. And then there's another one out there, Victoria Blackcoon, you know. So we'd like to say happy birthday to each and every one of you out there, you know. So then I'm going to go into some events tonight. My Chusuke would like to get into his best wrestling voice. And
that's right, Jack.
And so tonight is the Grand Slam over there, Pro Wrestling for Causes, over at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. That's at 1530 East Franklin Avenue. And, you know, the doors open at 5:30. The bell time's at 7. It's a benefit for the Women of Nations and Eagle's Nest Shelter. And it's going to be a good cause. It's going to be jumping off over there today. And it's going to be awesome.
There's going to be a big crowd there, and there's still tickets remaining, but right now they're close to 800 people there. You're going to be there, and we'll be there. As a matter of fact, Tane will be selling T-shirts, Native Roots Radio T-shirts, and signing autographs now.
Awesome,
Her and
Tane.
Her sister, April.
Pino on that one. hey, then on here's another one we want to give a shout-out to is on Monday. April 23rd, it's going to be a Fry Bread Indian Taco fundraiser from 10:30 to 2 o'clock at the Minneapolis Chippewa Tribal Office over at 1308 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And that's the fundraiser is for the 2018 Thanksgiving Powwow fundraiser. So they said that you can get a hold of them on their site. And they do deliver and things like that. But go out and show some love and bring over. And I could go for about three of them Indian tacos. So, you know, bring me one over. I'll be
with
thankful.
Some vegan sour cream.
And I don't know if I'm saying this right on this, but on April 27, and I want to tell my brother Barry Hand. I'll apologize for my you know if I'm misinterpreting this, but Oyate Friday 6 p.m. and that's on the 27th and 26th.
And the 27th is the Language Bowl, and the 26th is the powwow at Harding High School. And I'll be limping there, too, to support these cats.
Yeah, that powwow and that Language Bowl is at 1540 East 6th Street in St. Paul, you know. So
plenty of parking.
Plenty of parking and that. And another thing, you know, how we always say that language is very important to whatever nation you represent, you know. And so on Thursday the 26th at 5:30 up at the Ho-Chunk Language Class is going to be at the branch office in St. Paul. We have the information on that, but they always say they always have food, and you want to bring a dish to share. But we always say if you don't want to bring nothing, just bring your feed bag because there'll be plenty of food to eat.
You know I will. I show up a little late too.
Yes, I know about you too, Scott. And here's the thing that we wanted to say before I get off here, man. And Wendy, I was really sad that she's not here, but she's supposed to be listening. And we had an Oscar award for her. And I got her trophy right here, right below my feet here. And she got nominated for Best Supporting Role in a Drama. It was called Taking Care of Chusuke. And so we got her trophy. It's right down here. I'm gonna pull it.
Maybe you could give it to her tonight at the wrestling match.
Hey, this is her Oscar for Best Supporting Role in Taking Care of Chusuke. So we got her Oscar right there. And
she's still taking care of me, by the way.
Yeah. So anyway. Other thing I'd like to say, you know, the Ho-Chunk word of today, you know, we always do a Ho-Chunk word, and this is kind of fitting because of this wrestling match is going on tonight. So the Ho-Chunk word today is Manape.
Manape,
and what that means is a warrior. Ooh. And so we say Manape. So that's what we're going to be a Ho-Chunk word today. And
so like, Dega Manape.
Yeah, and I want to give a congratulations out there to our boss, Crystal Moose, over here, you know. Hey, congratulations to Michael and Tasha Savage, you know, on their baby girl, newborn, Gwendolyn. I apologize if I mess this up, but Ishkwe Gahbawi.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's stands at the end. That's her middle name, but she's also known as Winnie.
Wow. Well, congratulations to April and Tane, too, because that's your new niece. Correctamundo? See, didn't know I spoke all those languages right. I would like to end with these thoughts from Chief Plenty Cow Coop. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear. I'd like to thank all the listening and studio audience. And I would like to Pini Gigi to Wendy, Pini Gigi to Missy, and Pini Gigi to Choka and Tane, our new reader of Special Things. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.